Hey, bros. Now that the kids are back in school, take some time for yourself and schedule your consultation at Treasure Valley Dermatology. Some of the things I know you've been thinking about: microneedling, cool sculpting, chemical peels, Botox, skin tag and age spot removal, acne scar treatment, and a blissful abundance of professional-grade skincare products. So get out of your mojo dojo casa house and give yourself some well-earned self-care. Schedule your next me time at www.dermatologyboise.com or by calling 208-SKIN-DOC. Are you wondering what your Boise area property is worth? Would you like to know your home's estimated value? It's time to reach out to Jesse Taff of Waypoint Real Estate Group. His free service provides you with your property's current market value and suggested selling price. He will analyze the comparables, local trends, and other local market data to provide you with an up-to-date and accurate estimate of the worth of your home or condo. Head to the link in his Instagram bio to fill out the form, and he'll be in touch with the numbers. Wondering what you need to make that next property purchase achievable? Reach out to Bryce Gonser of Fulcrum Home Loans for professional options. Also, his Instagram page has lots of information for establishing wealth in our current economy. This is the Boise Bubble Podcast. Welcome back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is Natalie Plummer. Today, we bring back food writer Amos Rothstein to have a conversation about what he's seen in the past year in the food scene in the Treasure Valley. We talk all about happy hours, bars, new restaurants, and co-ed bathrooms, and we throw in some conversation about dog people versus cat people. We also chat about what a show Real Housewives of Boise would look like and throw in a little bit of sexual innuendo. It's a very fun conversation. Get out your pen and paper. You're going to want to take notes.
Okay. Do you have pets?
Two cats.
Two cats.
Yeah. I'm a fully widowed lesbian.
Oh. Yeah.
At 32.
So cliche.
We have a cat, but we don't see her very often because she does not like the situation with the dog.
Yeah, she hasn't warmed up to him quite yet. She's trying in her own way. But everybody tells me you got to let a cat take its time. Make the introductions in a way that it wants to,
right?
And in time, things will settle out. Fingers crossed.
So pre-puppy, the cat was around and out and everywhere. And
yeah, around. We've always had kind of an eccentric cat. But
well, she's a diva. She doesn't like. Well, she likes Shane. She does not like me.
Never.
Like
has.
No.
There's never.
I don't think that's totally true. Like, and I don't even know that it's true that she likes me. I think that she likes me in her way. Mm. But her way is very odd.
If you're sleeping somewhere, she's there. But if you're in my bed. Like, she goes underneath the bed, like, waiting for you, mm-hmm. but she doesn't come, like, up. Like, mm-hmm. It's almost like she's angry.
Like, she'll come up. This is how I summarize my weird cat. And I love her, but she's just odd. Mm-hmm. She'll come up to you. She'll meow. She wants to be pet. Right. You can reach down and give her a pet, and she'll walk off about three or four steps until she's just out of arm's reach. Like, she wants you to keep walking towards her and petting, and then she'll move. And you walk towards her again and pet her, and she'll move again. She never just wants to stay close by your feet so that she can get more pets. I don't get it.
She wants to be chased.
Hard
I
to
understand
get.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This classic.
It actually makes sense to me. I like cats because, you know, they're there and then they're not there and you don't really think about them much. And right. as long as they're fed, they're fine. So I didn't really understand why we needed to go, you know, mess up the whole dynamic. Mm. I thought we had something, you know. Nice, but
it wasn't enough for me.
Apparently.
I needed more.
So now we have a new baby who bites and breaks your skin.
Are
so
your cats low key, Amos?
Yeah. Well, I have two. I have Betty and Veronica. Okay. And Betty is like a loaf. Unless there's food involved, she's not moving. Mm. She's very sweet. She doesn't mind anyone being near her. And Veronica's just a total hyper. She's like 7 months old, bouncing of everything, but sweet.
Yeah.
And Veronica loves Betty. Betty does not love Veronica. And I just love, Betty will just walk by her and just like give her a quick little bitch slap on the face and just feel like.
Betty's the older one.
Betty's the older one. And they just keep walking. And I think it's hilarious. It's like,
boy,
so funny.
Animals are weird how they establish dominance. Like, I just need to remind you that you're nothing to me.
Yeah.
Slap you in the face.
Yeah. I own this tiny apartment.
Yeah, you're in my house, bitch.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Okay.
So you had to be convinced, Natalie, to get the puppy, or were you this a mutual idea? Was there a
No, she had to be convinced.
Okay.
Yeah. I never wanted the dog because I stayed home with three children, mm-hmm. three babies, and I was the main person as mm-hmm. Shane like went off to work and I was staying up late with them. So like I've done my time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but I also understand that Shane wants a companion up into the woods. Okay. You know, he goes up and like sleeps with a, you know, with a tarp over him and a gun just in case a wolf comes. Like, sure. That's not great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see the benefit. And like I'm so, you know, now that we have the dog, of course, I'm going to love this dog.
Right.
But
yeah, I'd say that she's really warmed up to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. She held him on the way back from.
Are you talking
picking
about me
him,
like
him
in the
up?
Just as.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you've warmed up to him. Uh-huh. And I think that it started when you held him for the first time and he fell asleep on your lap. There is something cute about an animal that will fall asleep in your lap. It's like, oh, I feel safe with you. You merit my feeling of safety. And we think, oh, I love that.
I mean, I like
it's
dogs.
Flattering.
I like dogs. It's not like I don't like dogs. I just also don't like more work than I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I also, you know, I appreciate time to chill without something like wanting on me all the time. And
well, although this is not a animal or pet podcast,
I feel like all of our podcasts are going
I feel
to be
like all of our conversations start with this these days because
right.
this is a new
a
thing
topic.
In our life. Yeah, it is
right.
the big hot topic.
Yeah. My mom, whenever growing up, she didn't want something. She would just immediately say she was allergic to it.
Mm,
so there was like no discussion. It's like, why am I allergic? And she was allergic to dogs until we really convinced her to meet a dog, and then all of a sudden the allergy went away.
Oh,
wow.
That's a miracle.
I know, a medical miracle.
That's
and
really
now
exciting.
She has two of them, and the allergy is long, long gone.
Are you allergic to anything?
No, I'm very lucky, especially as someone who does a lot of eating and talking about eating. I've never been allergic to anything. I think I would be so sad if I became allergic to a peanut.
Do you want to tell us kind of what you do?
Sure. Well, it's been a whirlwind. So I started out just my like short abbreviated history of food writing. I started out doing a blog about fast food, sort of like a tongue-in-cheek, very low culture writing about McRibs and Pizza Hut and things I like fast food. So I was like, it was a passionate write, but nothing of, you know.
You can feel the heart in it.
Yeah. And you can feel your arteries hardening in it
nice.
As well. And then a friend was like, the Boise or the Idaho Statesman didn't have anyone writing fruit for like 2 years. So I sent them stuff and they're like, yeah, you're on. The Idaho Statesman got bought up by a kind of bigger national conglomerate. They did a lot of changing of the guard, and I got swept out. So then I got the email at 1 p.m. and I walked over because I worked downtown to the Boise Weekly office, and then at 1:30 I got hired by Boise Weekly because they didn't have anyone either.
Nice.
So that was a little over a year ago too.
Yeah.
So I've been writing for the Boise Weekly. I a long overdue article about German food. I'm going to be doing one coming up about best Friday happy hours, because this is the thing I do miss most about living on the East Coast is the intense happy hour culture.
Yeah.
And especially like being able to get a full dinner on happy hour snacks for pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of places in Boise either don't do a happy hour on Friday. They might Sunday through Thursday.
Yeah.
Or they won't do their food on Friday, but they'll just do the drinks like Bardonnay.
Mm.
So I've been like really trying to cultivate a list of that who does both on a Friday, drinks and food, because a drink on a Friday after a long week is really nice, especially as it gets nicer out. So
the valley needs your article.
So we don't want to like trying. Obviously we want everyone to read your article. Do you have one that you'd want to share that you're like I think they do it?
That think they do.
Oh, sorry.
Or do
sorry.
Both?
Hold on.
Oh.
Hey. Welcome.
Hi, girl.
Hi.
is there, like, for the article, do you have one that you would share that, like, does a good Friday happy hour?
Yes. Well, I would say it's kind of a tie between two. Going into the summer, honestly, the new Lang & Louis, where the old Crab Shack used to be, because it has such a huge, great patio,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be awesome. And they do great food. and drinks. The downside is their happy hour ends at 5.
Not 6.
Too early.
Way early.
So Ling or Louie, if you are listening, move it to 6. Yeah. Come on. And then obviously, honestly, the new place, and I always say it wrong, Tavolata downtown.
Yeah.
I think they do happy hour every day of the week till 6.
Really?
Yeah. And their pastas, which are normally like $20 to $25, are on their happy hour for like $10. Yeah. And they're huge. They're really good. They're making the pasta feet from you. And there's the great salads, great cocktails. That's a great place for a Friday happy hour.
We went there for happy dinner. Hour. I didn't realize they did it because we went on like a Tuesday, so I just assumed they had a happy hour.
Yeah.
But I could not believe what we got for that happy hour. Like the sizes. And I really liked that place.
Me too.
I love the atmosphere. It's a great spot. I had their, what was it? There was their pork chops were so good with like butternut ravioli. I got like two. Actually, it was kind of embarrassing because they wanted me to come in to do a feature. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to show like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was bringing my family. And so we were all going to do it. But my kids were being just little whatever. I'm like, I don't want anything to do with you. Shane needed like to take care of him. So I went by myself and ordered as if for like everyone.
You're eating and a family's worth of food.
Yeah. And then I'd have like the servers come in and I'd have them like cut things. So I looked like I was having this great time. It was so bad because somebody posted a picture about it on like Boise Foodies, like on Facebook.
And I'm like, one lady with like 20 plates.
Yeah, it was so bad. But I'm like, you know what? That's what you have to do. But
she's either really sad or really happy. I don't know.
I was reading some like smut, like, novel as I was eating pasta. I'm like, this is my best life. But I've been back like 4 times already. It's so good. Yeah,
so
I've
good.
Had great drinks too. Have you been yet?
I haven't yet. No, I mean it sounds great. Yeah,
it's a good spot.
Well, I know that we want to go through the list of a lot of stuff, but I'm kind of curious. I mean, you've been writing about food in the Treasure Valley. A lot of new restaurants coming in. It feels like the what am I trying to say? Like the culture. The higher end foodie culture is changing a little bit,
and the higher end drinky culture too. Yeah. It's just like the cocktail bars galore in this town. I mean, like it was a big deal when the James opened up on Broadway.
Yeah,
and just sort of like having that sort of like caliber of cocktail experience, and then around the same time the Lively opened, and then Thick as Thieves opened, and now the 1920s,
the Gatsby,
and you know, it's just like this kind of, and Space Bananas open now. It's like this trend of cocktails and like small plate bites around it, which I love. It is sort of taking over the city, though. I will say, the Hap Haps open, great cocktails, but I'm like, I will say every time I go out to one of these places, anyone who's lived in Boise for a little bit, who didn't just move from more expensive cities, like, holy shit, $15 for a cocktail?
I think I'm hearing that everywhere.
$20? Yeah.
I mean, Space Banana is so expensive. I was like, I get it that it's, you know, a very small venue and there, you know, but I was like, wow, okay, that's
I'll be honest, $20 for a cocktail is hard to swallow.
Yeah.
Steep.
Good Lord.
I mean, if you're really packing it in for 5 drinks, $100.
No way.
Yeah, and you can go to the Cactus, which now takes cards.
They do. I saw that. Yay, and Cactus. After, like, what, 88 years or something?
Yeah, exactly. And for $15, you get the same amount of alcohol.
Yeah, and they have a nice little patio back there now.
Yeah, they do. And a food truck usually is back there, too. And
yeah, and it's fun. It's a young couple who owns it now. And it's just, I like that place. And I don't know, that area of town, I usually kind of stay away from because I'm like 2 decades too old.
Like, I feel like a chaperone every time I'm there.
I went there one time and this drunk guy came up to me and he must have been 20 and he asked me if I'd be his mommy. And I was like, I don't know what this means, but it's all kinds of wrong. So I don't like that area, but I'm like, I think I could do Cactus now.
But what did you tell him?
I said, sure. I mean, I was obviously open to whatever he needed.
I mean, let's not judge.
I mean, I'm a community member. So,
giver.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, I have noticed a lot of people kind of moving also to the zero proof, I think, for that reason, because you are able to extend the experience. you know, you can, you don't have to have alcohol the entire time, but right. you know,
you want something to hold on.
You want something right. that's fun. So I think as those prices are going up, people are, and people that the sober curious movement right. is just, you know, we're kind of in a wave where that's really big right now, but I've noticed I'll see like features on, like articles on Zero Proof and they're going crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I know more and more people my age, some surprising people who are like, I'm just cutting out alcohol
mm-hmm.
completely. And I'm how, but also like, wow, mm-hmm. how and wow. but yeah, just more and more people are cutting it out. But they want to go out because it's like,
yeah,
in Boise, it's like the bars are such a big part of the social scene. So I've noticed that too, seeing a lot more dedication to menu space of non-alcoholic drink. But I look at those zero proof drinks and I think, oh, that would be really good with vodka.
Yeah,
that'd
yeah,
be really good with gin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hap Hap Lounge has great zero proof if you're looking for that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I see Boise and then we're having these kind of higher end craft experiences. And then you come into Meridian and we're kind of we have some random options.
Yeah.
So we've got Maddie's. Have you been there yet?
I haven't, no.
So it's, what's it called? Maddie's Whiskey, I think is what it's called. So I went there once. It was Maddie's Wine and Whiskey. So I believe it's supposed to be like a venue.
Okay.
And then sometimes they have food, but sometimes they don't have food. So I think they're still kind of figuring themselves out. But there's like a water feature like right out on like Fairview. And you're like, what is this? This is very odd, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's Dalton Royale. And that is very misunderstood. We're still trying to figure out what that is exactly. Have you been there?
No, but I've heard of this place. And I think there's a lot of places I think opening up not in, like right in the city core. And this I just find true about a lot of cities that are like, what are we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because we're not in an inner city, but we don't want to just be like a suburban sports bar.
Yeah.
Something in the
middle. This one's kind of, you know, like I haven't been inside yet. I drive by, it kind of looks like a 1970s strip from like from Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like palm trees inside. And I think I know they do like line dancing.
Oh.
And
I'm really confused. Like, what is it?
It's a restaurant bar. But like I have more people say, what is this place? I'm like, honestly, I don't know. So that's that.
If somebody solve the mystery for us, please.
And yes, we've had people say it's a fun venue. And then.
So event center?
I don't know.
Do you think the intrigue brings people in or just.
No.
It
costs
people
too
off
much. It costs too much money to go out now.
Yeah.
To like risk it.
Yeah,
nobody's just going to pull up and say, I don't know what this place is, but let's go.
I mean, we might, because
we
do that sometimes, because it's like, but I also write everything off that I eat, so it's like easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, that place is interesting. We have a new place in Eagle that for drinks, Spitfire Tacos and Tequila.
Oh, I saw your post about that. Yeah.
So we went there and sat on their new rooftop, which is just opening up. And
we were the very first ones. I'll let everybody know.
Wow.
Yeah, we claimed it.
It was fun. We were up there. I'm like, is this what it's like to be like rich?
Yeah.
Because I was like, we have the whole rooftop.
Our own patio.
It was very.
Our own servers.
It was fun. But yeah, that we were talking to the owner and they, they have a lot of ideas about how they want their drinks to kind of really be different from everyone else. And like much more like smoother tequilas and I think that
what was it that they were telling us about clarified tequila?
Have you heard of clarified tequila? You like clarify it with milk?
Something about milk with it, which
it takes the bite
the surface,
out.
It
sounds crazy.
I think that we are like lower class with tequila because we both like the bite, but apparently if you like the bite, you like cheap tequila. But it was really good, and I think it'll be. It's cool. It's cool because Eagle downtown Eagle is very like, I mean, it's just starting to like
bloom.
Make a move.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden this place is here, so I think we'll do well. But
yeah,
that was our newest exploration. What have you been exploring lately?
Well, so living downtown, there's like, you know, every feel like every other month there is something that's like, oh, this just opened. There is the I'll get to it next because I'm trying to remember the name, but like the Percy opened up this year.
Yeah.
The Avery Bistro de Helene.
Mm-hmm. Just went there.
And which is an interesting place because it's, I had a great meal, but I couldn't find it even though I was looking at it. There's no signs.
Yeah, it is hard to find it.
Yeah. It used to be the Front Street station. Mm-hmm. And now it is just signless French restaurant that is very good. And it is owned by the same young woman who
Danielle.
Owns Appreciana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great. She's killing it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'd love to see it.
Yes. That it's interesting because, like, on social media, it has a different name than Bistro de Helene. So I can't remember what it's under. So I think people do get confused. But
yeah.
we went there with, like, some foodies for brunch, and I was blown away. Because, you know, when you're used to the original restaurant, right. which, you know, fries and
yeah.
and burgers, which is great, and then you're just not expecting –
yeah,
that level. But that I level. Actually, yeah, I mean, I like it as much as is it? It's Appresina.
Am I been saying wrong?
I don't know.
I might be. Is it Appresina?
I could think, be. But I'm not sure. But yeah. Like, and you know, you've got the you know the Hyde House atmosphere
right.
there, and so you aren't
very
really.
Cozy
I wasn't expecting it as much, but I had an amazing meal.
Yeah.
So and you know, and it's right next door to like one of our favorite pho restaurants.
Yeah,
for real.
For real.
And
yeah.
owned by like a 22-year-old or run by like this guy who's like his family does it. And it's like all,
yeah.
and I'm like, this is amazing. I could eat there every day.
And their second location, which is like sort of near the DMV, kind of around the mall in Boise.
Oh, okay.
They do like banh mi at that other location. They
okay.
don't do it at the one by the co-op, but like, for lunch specials during the week, it's like $5 banh mi's.
Okay, for me,
with a Coke.
That is so important because I don't no. want like a huge banh mi when I'm having a huge bowl of pho.
Yeah.
Like I will. I mean, I'll, you
yeah.
know, I'll make it happen.
You have to, right? Yeah.
I want the smaller one.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had a second location.
Yeah, they do. And it's, but they only do the banh mi's at the second location. The other thing is like Boise used to be, and I hope you restaurateurs are listening because it used to be a city with a lot of really good like weekday lunch specials. Mm-hmm. Like the Brickyard used to have one. I think the Reef used to have one. Bonefish, which is now gone, used to have one. They always had a good happy hour, but they used to have a lunch special. There's very few like, you know, $9 to $12 lunch specials left in Boise. And one great lunch special, this is a little trick. Go try it out because it's real. At the Wise Guys Pizza downtown, mm-hmm. you can get a piece of pizza, a thing of ranch, and a soda for $5. But
Ooh.
They will let you trade out the soda for a PBR, no extra charge.
Are you serious?
What?
Yep.
Wow.
That's a great one.
You're a huge fan of Wise Guys, aren't you?
I used to go to Wise Guys a couple times a week when I was working downtown.
Yeah.
Probably not the healthiest, but I
but
did
it's
it.
There and it's
and
cheap
it was great.
Quick, yeah.
And they've got awesome pizzas too. Very
yeah,
different.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they've got an interesting menu.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think of the Percy? It's just Percy. Percy's?
Yeah. Is it
the Percy? Let's see. I could look that up. So
yeah, I thought it was really good. I was nervous cuz I kind of went the first time right when it opened and you know like new restaurants getting its sea legs
yeah.
together. You know, the restaurants trying to the actual restaurant kitchen is very much in trying to be cahoots with each other and get timing right with servers. There's a lot of things that they are balancing. And I think for a new restaurant when I went, they did a really good job of having timing down, of having dishes come out at the same time, having it be warm, having it be good. If I try like a little bit of an upper scale new restaurant, my litmus test is just a good roast chicken, which is on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple dish, but I'm like, if done well, it's done really well. And if done poorly, it's done, I think, fairly
it's
poorly.
Very Ina Garten of you.
Oh, thank you. That's a big compliment.
Oh, yeah.
I love her. And
how fabulous is that?
How fabulous is that? They had a great chicken. Mm. And it came out like, you know, 20 minutes from ordering. It was warm. It came out with everything else. And, like, the range of everything else that was being, like, someone got the short rib, someone just got, I think, the tomboy salad, which was, like, kind of a chopped salad with, like, bacon and tomato and a bunch of different vegetables and seeds and a really great, like, vinaigrette dressing. like to have a restaurant that's new, there everything is timed perfectly is hard, and they did it really well.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think because with the Wilder Group,
right?
You know, they've got their systems in place. So, and I think there was a lot of expectations because of that,
right?
And I was excited because I love the Wilder, but you know, their menus, you know, a little limited,
right?
And so I was hoping for that kind of quality at Percy, and I think they achieved it.
Yeah.
And I love the atmosphere. The co-ed bathroom is interesting.
Yes.
Like I was like, okay, washing my hands next to this guy. You know, I don't experience that a lot in Boise.
No, but the bathrooms are very clean.
Yes.
They keep them clean and full doors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an separate.
Elegant touch.
It's just, you know, you don't usually have that intimate moment of washing your hands. Because, you know, with girls, I don't know what it's like for men.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you go out, and there's a bonding ritual with women in the bathroom. You know, you hype each other up, you make sure you're okay, you know, you know, watch out for yourself. And then it's like, here's this random bearded guy next to me, and we're like, hi. Like, I don't know the protocol.
It feels like a mistake to me on so many levels.
Why?
Well, for that, for one, like, there's a lot of stuff that happens in separated bathrooms that you just don't want to. I'm just saying that I think that there are things that we need not do in close proximity.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it. I was thinking it was fun. I was like, I don't mind being a little uncomfortable, you know?
Modern. Mm.
I'm trying to imagine my dad walking into that. I could see him just turning right around.
Oh, yeah. Your dad would never go in there. Yeah.
But anyway, we digress. So, Percy, have you been to Acero?
I have yet to go. I walk by it all the time. Like, I'm going to go this weekend. But I've not heard a bad thing about it.
We had a really great
time. We had a fantastic time.
Yeah.
And for pricing... Oh my gosh, they have so many specials. They have one, shoot, I need to write it down. It's like $30. It's like a bottle of wine and flatbread, I think, like a serving. Like it's enough for two. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
We went in and they're like, for appetizers, we're like, what do you recommend? And they're like, this is random, but we say bubblies and fries. And they do like a bubbly pairing with French fries. And it was so good. I was like,
that's awesome.
I want to come just for this. But right, you know, right off of Grove Plaza, I mean, just for the ambiance, but then the pricing, I think it's very accessible.
Yeah.
I loved everything we had there. I was very surprised. And it is beautiful. I mean, they've really done a good job. Everything was based on, was it just trees in general, or was it native trees to Idaho?
I think I missed that part.
Okay. I was doing a little tour, but it's done with like an arbor theme. And it was nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'll have to try it.
I will. I live like a block and a half from there. I'm like, I need to try it. Yeah, I'll try it.
You could write something about it.
I could write
for your job.
Yes, for that. I could do that for that. I should.
Yeah.
So for your job, did you wait in line at In-N-Out, Amos?
I did not, but I did go like a month and a half later at like 11:30 PM.
Mm-hmm.
And I only waited 10 minutes.
But were they still directing traffic?
They had a bunch of cones set up. So there's a lot of people waiting through the drive through. And I'm like, screw that. I'm going to park and go in. And I was in and out.
Oh,
and, is that why they call it that?
Is that why they call it that?
Have I never even... Wait, so did you like it?
I did. I mean, I used to live in Los Angeles. I've had In-N-Out many times. And it's always been like a really good burger. And I understand there is a huge nostalgia factor for people who move here from California. The thing that's always been impressive is like the prices have never really changed. It's like you can get a full burger meal experience for the same price you could 10 years ago. That's
almost
impossible anywhere else.
Yeah.
And their menu is simple. It is well replicated and it hits every time. You know exactly what you're getting. And sometimes that's the best part.
Yeah. There's something about that. Like I know like Starbucks is really, you know, a thing now, but I was talking to my daughter about it. Like, why do people go to Starbucks? I'm like, you have to understand the experience of knowing you're going to get the same thing every single time, especially when things are expensive and you can just rely on that. And that's not necessarily a good thing all the time to rely on that, but there is something about that.
Right.
We haven't been, have you been to In-N-Out here?
Nope.
I have not been. I don't really plan on going because for me, if I'm going to have a burger, I would rather just spend more and get a Five Guys if I'm going to get that. That's just, their fries are my favorite. Actually, I kind of want that tonight. That sounds really good. But also, random. I feel like this just kind of went, what's up with Wiener Schnitzel? Like, Right? It just like appeared.
It just appeared.
I just saw it for the first time today.
Yeah.
I was coming out of an appointment on 10 Mile and 10 Mile and McMillan.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's a wiener schnitzel. Yeah. And I thought that thing just popped up overnight.
I mean,
where did it come from?
Is it officially open?
Yeah, it's open.
Yeah, okay. People,
and actually there was like big lines and everything. But the thing is with Scheels happening so fast and like people were so into that and like I know people were excited. I've never been to a wiener schnitzel. It's the weirdest. I mean, when I first heard of it, I'm like, that can't be a real
place. I assume it's a hot dog place.
It's a hot dog place. Yeah. My neighbor who's a vegan is like, it's the best vegan dog. I mean, weird.
I mean,
I wouldn't even think to go there to see if they had one.
Yeah, like, no.
But apparently they do and it's good.
Okay.
If you know, if you're listening, like, God, where can I get a great vegan dog in Treasure Valley? Try it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, my question, and it's not food related, but with the growth of chains, when are we getting to IKEA?
We're not. I mean, when you look at like the calculations of what it's, there's like no chance. Because those Swedish meatballs, those would be good. Yeah.
Be good.
I mean, yeah, I think everyone's just, I mean, we've got the Scheels, which, you know, is great for, I mean, that's not my store, you know?
Yeah.
And we did a tour like that. We got to go in there. It was fun. Actually, we got to go in like alone basically. Yeah. And that was really fun. But then I just started thinking about the intensity of all those people in there. And I'm like, that's not my personal experience, but some people just love that stuff.
Yeah.
But that place was, it is a mall. It is crazy.
With the Ferris wheel on it. And like I saw the coverage of the lines to get in and it, you know, just like in and out. I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. People are like, are you gonna go? I'm like, no. I was there before and then I won't go for like months and months and months.
Yeah.
But they have a full food bar there. Like full it's like it's kinda like IKEA.
Okay.
So
like a cafeteria with a couple of restaurant options.
Yeah. So yeah,
oh, like restaurants. So it's not just like a Costco food court. It's like there's a different
It was hard to say. They weren't letting us in on the tour. They stopped us at the door.
Oh.
But it looked like they had like a couple of different stations.
Okay.
Yeah. Like more, more than Costco. It was like, more food courty, but like all, I don't think they're like individually owned, but.
And with an intentional, like a restaurant type area, like walled off, just tables, come in here, eat. Costco is just like, grab a table.
Right.
In the middle of all the masses.
Right.
It wasn't like that.
Okay.
I just kept thinking when I was in there, like, are we big enough to support this place, like as a city, like after the like excitement?
Right.
And, you know, it's all the way over on 10 Mile, which, you know, we heard some things about 10 Mile. Do you want to talk about what we were talking about with the development there?
We were talking to a restaurateur. What's the term?
Restaurateur.
Who was looking at getting some more space, and they were talking to their agent, and their agent said that the developer, they intentionally don't want local places. They want national chains.
Yeah, no local places there at all.
Because the national chains, for some reason, there's some kind of a financial stability.
Sure.
But it really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought for a state that is so gung-ho about local and making a place for local to have...
And supporting local financially.
Have an intentional... And I guess we are going off of secondhand information. We need confirmation. But if that is the case, I definitely need some help understanding that, because that kind of a strategy or a philosophy of excluding local business and restaurants really bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like the business is so, it's doing so well and they want to expand. But when you look at that one section, these things keep on coming in. They're like, okay, thank you.
Another
like just
such
another
such.
Beige,
Yay. Another such right.
you know, and a little further down, you have some like Johnny Bronx and that's local. Yeah. So there's a little bit more as you go down, but you know, as 10 Mile's kind of grown, I've just been disappointed. Just like
10 Mile is going to look like any other million exits across the U.S.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe USA. That is maybe nothing it's that the distinguishes it to the from, freeway. But I'm not going there. I mean, we go down to the old Crave, which I don't even that place. We could do a whole podcast on what has happened with that Crave area, not Crave and Eagle.
Yeah.
But the Crave delivery.
Delivery, right?
Because, dude, I can't go into all the drama, but like you know, it started, and then it kind of stopped, but there were still ghost kitchens. And now there's still ghost kitchens, but apparently Crave is trying to come back with the same idea. Same name, the whole thing.
So just trying it again.
But I just don't see it. But Mai Tai is now there because Mai Tai, you know, closed down.
Yeah, downtown.
And so now it's kind of weird because, you know, Billy does like the most incredible, beautiful food at his downtown location. And now it's just delivery and pickup. And we get it like every week. But, you know, it's not this, it's hard to see it like in this little box, but it's just as delicious.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's there. So that's technically a local down there. But I don't know if there's anything else in that area.
Yeah.
A lot of like Zupas, I think. Not yet. That kind of thing.
I mean, they just got the Starbucks done. They've got a couple of other places like a grocery outlet, I think, there.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I just see these, you know, that's fine, but like I don't really want to spend my money at the beige areas.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, why would you? So let's get away from the beige areas. What else have you is on your radar? Anything exciting?
You know, I'm trying to think of stuff that's like, and we were talking about this before we started, just coming up. It's been so overwhelmed. Like, I feel like I've not been doing maybe as diligent of a job of like the forecasting of things coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of constantly being surprised by the things that are just like, oh, now we're open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Because there's been so many. And there's, I feel like the haunted corner of like Capitol and, was it Capitol in Maine or Capitol in Idaho?
With where, like Soul.
Soul. Yeah.
What's that place called? Soul Street Cafe.
Soul Street Cafe.
Yeah. And with really limited hours, by the way. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
It's like they close at like 5 on like Sundays and like 6 on the, or whatever. It's like we haven't been able to go because they close so early.
Right. Yeah, it's prohibitive. And like the thing is, it's that place has been through so many restaurants.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, what's going to be there next? But, you know, I hope it works out. And I love the concept. I love that it's like, oh, you're bringing like Korean street food that's very different than Cup Op, which is, I'll just be polite and say, not my favorite place. but it's you know, like trying to do kind of like truly what like a Seoul street food experience would be like if you were to go visit Seoul. I love that kind of stuff is coming to town. But like I heard about it from someone who walked by and I'm like, oh, that, I guess that exists here now. And that's just sort of been my like, I've been not proactive, but very reactive to the food scene.
Cause it just fast.
Comes so fast. Yeah.
Don't they have a ramen like machine or ramen like vending situation? Yeah. I don't really know. We want to take our kids cause that's like the ultimate for them. But
yeah, I think they call it, I think like the cup of noodles, like that, you know, the kind you get in store, but elevated and you know, fancied. But yeah, that is on their menu. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, where even Stevens used to be, speaking of noodles, is now the new Nara.
Yes.
Sushi and ramen
I've
downtown.
I've heard it's amazing. I haven't
been. The sushi was pretty good, and the ramen was, I think, really good. And it's like we were missing a ramen spot downtown. I mean, we have Faux Nouveau and Faux Real, so I'm glad to get a ramen spot back downtown once Ramapong closed. A year or so ago. So it's just been sort of like we've been watching like the evening of the keel of things opening and closing, and hopefully it's just some good steady growth.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I've discovered what might be my favorite pizza. I'm going to like lay the gauntlet down.
Okay.
Is that the right term? Lay the gauntlet down?
Throw the gauntlet down.
Or like draw the line.
You're just being very bold.
I'm being bold here. I think Black Moon Pizza is my favorite
on
pizza
Chindin?
In town. Yeah. I think it's my favorite pizza in town.
I am going, it is on my list to try this weekend.
It is so good.
Yeah. I've been like obsessed with their menu since they've opened.
Yeah.
So what was it about it, Natalie, that got you
tell me,
to be such a fan?
Well, I love a more European style pizza.
The, like Neapolitan wood fire.
Yeah. I love that. But it was just a little bit more substantial, that kind of like just a little bit more Americanized, but they had really interesting topping like combinations that were just a little bit bizarre.
Weren't they telling us that they import their flour for their
dough?
Yeah,
it's European flour. So like if you struggle with American flour, which everyone does really, I mean, it's not good. So they bring in their European flour. They also make their gluten-free crust from scratch, and it is absolutely delicious. Like if you got the gluten-free crust just because, and that's where you're going to get your thicker crust. And then also, remember when we went to, what was it? The Basque restaurant, and you introduced me
to Ansatz, yeah.
Yeah, and you introduced me to the, like, sangria, like the
Basque. Yeah, or the calamochos, yeah. Yeah,
they have them there.
Oh, good.
Which is, but okay. They call them the gardens, they call it a Garden City sangria.
Okay.
Which I thought was so great. And yeah. I ordered that, like, do you know what that is? I'm like, I do, because I'm friends with a foodie who writes for a news article. News. Anyway, so I just thought it was fantastic, but I don't think they take reservations.
I think it's a first come, first serve. Was it pretty busy when you went? Was like people waiting?
It was pretty full.
Yeah, it was pretty full. So that, and I was telling Shane, because you know I've been going through like some health stuff, and so sometimes I'll get like emotional. I'll be like, you know, if you just want to really cheer me up, just anytime you just want to bring home one of these pizzas, like
it'll do the trick.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And I wrote that down, of course.
You did. And he does. He has a little notebook of like things to remember.
Remember this.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I thought that it was a good, I can't remember specifically everything that was on the menu, but I do remember that I liked that it wasn't too overwhelming, but they had some interesting offerings there.
They had the meatballs that were a little bit more, like, not saucy, but a little bit more like meatloaf.
Okay.
Like, it was kind of in its own juices.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
I remember we had a pizza that had some pickled peppers, which I thought, that's kind of an odd ingredient for a pizza. I typically wouldn't pick that, but it really worked.
Yeah.
I think that it had a fennel sausage on it, too, which I'm always a fan of a fennel sausage.
Yeah.
But it was great. Yeah. And they had good beer. Pretty good selection of beer.
Yeah.
And it's owned by the same people who do Broadcast Coffee.
Right.
So now you can get that there. And they have starting their baking program. And, yeah. Which was really good. I like it when they call their baking program.
Yeah. It's like, so official.
Oh, yeah. Like, so you bake things? Cool. I mean, I'm happy for it. But have you tried? I don't know. I feel like so many of these podcasts are like, have you tried? Yeah. But that's really what we just talk about anyway. So have you been to Taste of Persia yet?
No, but that was on the top of my list when we talked of places to try.
Yeah, we chatted, I think, on the phone about that.
Yeah,
so
we did.
I'm obsessed with this place. Like, it's a refugee family.
Yeah.
And, like, they have a whole story, and it's not really, like, my story to tell, but, like, I think you can listen to an episode of Mosaics, which is the podcast that the Idaho Office of Refugees does, and they talk more about it. But, like, I can't even tell you what we got because I don't know do you remember even what the menu was, like, what they were called? Like, it was mostly kebabs and, like, rice. There was one rice dish that had, like, pickled carrots and raisins. And I'm like, this is gross. And then I tried it and I'm like, I want to eat this every day. And, like, if you've been to, the Middle East, it feels like you're like in that, it's very spacious.
Yeah. Very comfortable.
Very sort of ornate.
Well, it's very ornate. Yeah. And bright. It's like, it's not what you're.
Gilded.
Yeah. So it's different from like Goodness Land. That is like that cozy Middle East. This is like the fancy restaurant version, that tile floor.
I'm looking at pictures now.
Yeah. So it's, when you walk in, it's not what you're expecting because you just don't have this kind of restaurant in Boise, but
yeah,
it was beautiful. The food was great, and there was another family or like a huge group of maybe 30 people eating there, like some big family to do, and they were all eating buffet style, and it just felt very homey.
And you told me they have quite an interesting story, a background,
yeah. That's the one you can listen to on the Mosaics, So, like, I actually went in on their grand opening just because the Office of Refugees said, hey, you should stop by. And because they knew that I like was interested in some of these stories. So I just seriously went and just looked around, and they just like, they didn't know who I was. They just like loaded me with food.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, oh, I can't sit down. I got to go. They're like, we'll just send you with like everything. So I came home and I just like sat in front of the TV and I was like, let's try this. And I'm like, I'm so happy right now. But we went back with some friends and we just like, we had Friendsgiving there.
Oh, fun. Okay. Yeah.
So that was awesome.
I just looked at the menu. I mean, just like it looks incredible. And Persian food, I mean, even in big cities is hard to find. So often with Middle Eastern restaurants, you find Lebanese, or you find Greek, you find Israeli, but to get like a real or good Persian food is rare anywhere. So to have that in Boise, I mean, is so awesome. And that is, I mean, we talked about this on the podcast last time of like, just sort of what, you know, I'm always very intrigued of like, how'd you end up in Boise, Idaho? Yeah. But really like the refugee day at the Capitol with all the food. I mean, the kind of like commonality that you really hear from so many of these people with the stories of how they ended up here is like, well, they were the ones that welcomed me in.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's really the root of it. And it's like, so I'm just so glad because now we not only get to have them as neighbors, but we get to have their food too.
I know.
And it's great food.
So let's rapid shot and go through what else have we tried this past year that's been standout?
Well, we've talked about a lot. Okay, I'll tell you something random. Yeah. I did a post and I mean, they like asked me to come in and do something, but I went to Marie Callender's in Meridian.
Is it still open?
It just opened a new one.
They just opened a new one. I know the old one closed years ago.
Yeah. So I did not know the excitement that would arouse, but like the nostalgia.
Yeah.
So my family owned a restaurant chain called Frontier Pies.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it was like, like for me going in, it was like my whole childhood. Well, this apparently was very understood here. People just went crazy talking about, you know, the cornbread and the, like, you know. And so, you know, it's Marie Callender's. It's totally locally owned. Cute, like, family. But I was kind of glad. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, let's bring some nostalgia back to Meridian. I thought that was kind of fun. Yeah.
That is fun.
Yeah. I thought they had a good, solid chicken pot pie.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's their key dish. Mm-hmm. Category savory.
Mm.
Yeah.
Though you know who has a great chicken pot pie is Alyanka's. They just added it to the menu.
It's not a chicken pot pie. She calls it something else.
But it's chicken and mushrooms. She doesn't call it chicken pot pie. It's totally random. Like the name of it is like, you don't even know. But you look at the menu, you're like, this is a chicken pot pie.
Right. And it comes out and you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I didn't know that they did this in Russia.
Yeah.
But they do. And it's great.
Yeah.
It was so good.
So yeah, that, and it's served with bread, which I'm like, I love that because obviously you eat the top off first,
right?
And you need something to dip in the remnants.
Totally,
I'm like, she nailed it with that. But so that's a great pot pie. That would be fun. You should do an article on that.
Pot pies.
Yeah,
the best place to get a pot pie
across
this summer.
I guarantee it's Stagecoach. It's like you know, it's most likely. I actually don't know if they have it, but or the Avery might. Actually, the way something kind of similar to that. It was like some cottage food.
Yeah. I know the Stardust, their like kind of vintage meal is like they do the Wellington.
Yeah, the Wellington.
Yeah, the Wellington. Yeah.
Which was delicious. Have you been to the Avery?
I've been to the Avery with a friend. We got the cassoulet there.
Yeah, we did too.
And it was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Is the cassoulet the one with the drumsticks?
Rabbit. Yeah, the rabbit, the beans.
It was really delicious.
It's a really ugly one to photograph, by the way.
It is.
I took a picture. I'm like, no one's going to order this.
No.
But I'm like, it's
beans
so
all different kinds of brown. Yes.
No, it was.
It's very beigey.
Yeah.
It was delicious. It's but, Jeffrey approved.
Yeah.
As Ina would say.
It's oh my gosh.
She would say it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's cottage food. And I thought it was really good. We're going to go to Tinner's Alley this weekend. I haven't been yet.
I haven't either, but I've heard only great things. But Bistro de Helene. Great cassoulet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm. Great cassoulet as well. Which is a very, if you want to just kind of be mind blown about like an unbelievably complex recipe to follow.
Really?
Cassoulet, it takes like days to make.
I bet Ina has a recipe.
She does.
Do you see all those up on my, we're in my living room, all those matching cookbooks? That's all Ina Garten. Like, and I don't even own them all. She just kind of redoes the same recipes over and over again, though. Like, I love you, Ina, but can I just say, because I know she listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
So she does, you know, the world's best outrageous brownies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're so good and they're so expensive, like, to make.
Yeah.
So then, like, two cookbooks later, she does brownie pudding, which is literally the same recipe, but cooked for half as long. And I was like, Ina, we don't need that many cookbooks. Like, anyway, but still delicious. I did try it. Yeah. Shane, anything?
Man, I'm trying to think of what else we've seen. We have We've just been so fortunate to patron so many great places.
I know.
So I guess the last thing on my mind is the question that everybody is asking themselves is, have we found the bottom when it comes to hot chicken? Are we done with hot chickens now?
Why is there so much hot chicken? Much.
And who's eating it?
Well, actually, randomly, I have an Australian masseuse who comes. This makes me sound much fancier than I am. My Australian masseuse who comes twice a week. So I have to have lymphatic drainage twice a week because of my surgeries. Uh-huh. And she's from Australia. And I was asking her favorite restaurant right now. And it is Houston Hot Chicken in Meridian.
Oh.
Which I thought was super interesting because we have been there and we liked it.
Yeah.
But like we've got, there's Guthrie's too. I don't.
Right. That's newer-ish.
Is that hot chicken too?
It's hot chicken because they just opened the one on Vista. I think there's one in Meridian before. Yeah.
So there's that. There's
Dave's Hot Chicken. There's Slim's Chicken.
Dave's is still open. Which one closed? The locally owned one. Shoot.
Oh, Nashville Hot Chicken.
Yeah. Did that one close?
That's the one on Eagle and Franklin in that one closed. Portico complex.
A lot of hot chicken. So my brother-in-law, who thinks he can eat like anything hot, did like the hottest one at Houston, and I think he said he did vomit.
Oh my god!
Like, because you have to sign a waiver. Like, I'm like, what? Why?
Why?
But I don't know. Like, it's good.
Yeah.
If you want a chicken sandwich, you have a lot of options.
A lot of options,
especially in Meridian.
I think that what just blew my mind is there were so many of them that popped up within such a short period of time. Like, they were popping up every month. There was a new one for like a year.
It reminded me of like the Froyo craze.
Yeah.
In like the early 2000s or the late 2000s, yeah, where it was like every week there was a new frozen yogurt place.
And it just they felt all just odd disappeared. To me. Yeah. It's just so much all at once, like, there was some kind of a run on hot chicken that we didn't know about. And it's like this wave that's going across the entire country. And it just hit Idaho this week. And next week it's going to be in Oregon.
Right.
Yeah. And then the boba, you know, it's just coming in. We got a lot of boba places. In
Meridian?
You know, they're coming in. They kind of go, you know.
Yeah.
I'm on like an entrepreneur page and somebody was like, I'm going to sell my boba place. And it was like, which one? They're like, I'm not going to tell you yet. So one of them's going.
Oh.
You know, there's a lot of stuff there. I got to keep on the down low that I wish I could be like, hey, guess what, everybody? But boba. I don't like boba. I don't like that. Anyway.
I love it. Yeah.
You love it?
Oh, I absolutely love the boba.
What about the exploding ones? Like
the poppers?
Yeah.
My kids like the poppers. I like the tapioca boba, the original OG boba.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a good Thai tea. So good. Like boba places are the only place besides a Thai restaurant where you can find a really good Thai tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mai Tai does theirs. They make their boba from scratch. And like in house, and it's like all these really interesting, weird jelly shapes, which I know somebody's getting me into it. I'm not because I think I need some consistency with whatever's coming up the straw. That's all I'm gonna say. Like with that, like I don't need a surprise. Right. just bursting in my mouth. So,
but I'm excited. You know, I
tap
think
the head for pizza.
I was wondering who was going to do this first when the innuendo was kicking in.
Courtesy tap.
Once again, thank you for your service. But it's been exciting seeing a lot of these cities around the West. Like Salt Lake used to be a very meat and potatoes kind of city. And that is another city that has food-wise blown up, especially with all kinds of ethnic food and a lot of different cultures kind of building communities there. We've seen, if you're a fan like me, of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yes.
They highlight all these, like, whoa, that's in Utah? Like, whoa, that is a whole another elevated level. But I start thinking about places like, you know, Thick as Thieves and Percy and the hotel where Tyner's Alley is. It's the Avery.
The Avery.
Yeah. And you're like, oh.
And Ampersand, is that the one that's above Kin? Have you been there?
Yeah, on the very top.
Yeah, I still haven't been to that.
Yeah. I've peeked in on off hours. So I've never gotten a drink there, but I've been in a little tiny room. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, okay. If we had a Housewives of Boise, I'm like, this is where they go.
Yeah. Mm, and who's going to be, who's on the Housewives of Boise? Like, who's your number one pick for Real Housewives of Boise? Like, who's on that?
Well, I'm sure there'd be like a legacy, like a Simplot or like an Albertson of sorts. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be like a very eclectic. This is an eclectic city. There would be like, you know, like some entrepreneur. Like I do. I was kind of joking before. I'm like, could Rocky Johnson be a Boise housewife? I'm gonna next. Oh my God! It's tomorrow. Tomorrow, I am emceeing the Mrs. Idaho pageant.
What?
I forgot to mention
How
that.
Did you just mention that?
I keep forgetting
that.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. That's exciting.
It's, yeah. And so I'm like, okay, well, if anyone, like.
Yes. One of Maybe them, you'll one be brought in to, like, help decide.
Yeah.
Actually, why don't we just put it out there? Are you interested in that position of helping, like, stack the Real Housewives of Boise?
100%.
Okay,
yes.
So we're putting that out there.
Yeah, manifesting.
Unfortunately, I already have the Instagram. Yes. So if you want to come there, you're going to have to buy it from me because I like that page. But a little different than the show. But okay, so we're going to put that into the – do you want them to come here?
That's the thing. I don't know, but – if they did, I would absolutely watch it.
Yeah,
and absolutely,
yeah.
Oh
I God. Never watch those shows, but I'd watch it if it was.
Oh,
Boise.
For sure. I mean, out of just like my own curiosity, like what would be highlighted? You know, growing up in Portland and then seeing sort of like the Portlandia effect of Portland afterward, and like Rear World Portland came, and it just totally changed their personality of the city.
Yeah.
Afterward, I'm like, that's where I'm like, I'm a little hesitant about like a huge national spotlight like that on Boise,
well,
how it would change it.
In Real Housewives, it was very focused on like the religious factor, right?
Right.
So would it be the political factor here?
That's what I'm wondering. What is the angle here?
I would think that it would be the political angle.
So granted, I live under a rock, but are we talking about this because this is like a thing that is a possibility?
Well, it's like what city's going to be next.
Right.
And if they pick Salt Lake, which I was shocked with Salt Lake, it's, you know, I could see Boise coming in. You know, we have the Boise boys. I mean, we focus on Boise. But I don't know. It would be interesting. The thing is, you know, Idaho is kind of in the national spotlight for some interesting things. So I think that whoever is producing that show is going to want to amplify that. It's kind of like, has there ever been a Real Housewives in Florida?
Miami.
But okay, so there is. Yeah, sorry. Again, I've never seen this. But Miami would be different than like Jacksonville.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I would watch that, I think. Real Housewives of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But I think we'd be, I think we could go some interesting directions. But, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
But you're going to be involved in it. I'm going to manifest that right now.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I am too.
And congratulations on your gig what? That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see how this
goes.
How did
you even like get into that?
Totally random. Last year I was a judge and I was literally on the phone with a friend who she's a very successful involved attorney. They asked her to do it. She couldn't be there that weekend. So she's like, I don't know. Do you want to do it? It's like 100% yes. And then she's like, okay, I'm just going to email them and see if that works. And then they emailed the next day and said, okay, you're a judge.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's, but I had such a blast. Like I never in a million years thought I'd be anything involved in pageants. Like, and I like Drop Dead Gorgeous is one of my favorite
movies
of all
time. Oh my gosh, one of the best shows of all time.
Yeah, it's just, it's so funny. It's so like seeing this is like these is like their life. Like they are pageant girls. I'm like, okay.
Well, that's awesome. I seriously, we could have you on like every other month, but maybe we will.
No,
but,
we always get great response because like this is the date night planning. Episode.
Oh, good.
We need to call it that because people want to know where am I going to go out to eat?
Right.
Yeah.
And here we are to tell them.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm. Well, thank you so much for coming back.
Thanks
on.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll have you come on really soon. And I'm excited about your German article. So
yes.
That deadline is coming
Stay
on.
Stay tuned.
I'm excited. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening. This is the Boise Bubble Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a 5-star review. Follow us on Instagram at the Boise Bubble. And for more information about our community, follow at Hello Meridian. See you next time.
Thanks so much to our sponsors for supporting local dialogue. We encourage you to check them out online. Jesse Taff of Waypoint Real Estate Group is at www.waypointidaho.com. Bryce Gonser of Fulcrum Home Loans is at www.fulcrumhomeloans.com.
And Dr. Dustin Portella of Treasure Valley Dermatology can be found at www.dermatologyboise.com and on Instagram at drdustinportella.